Okay, let's begin. Let's continue. Let us continue with Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, let's discuss. It might be a little more drush today on the halacha section than actual halacha, because Shabbos HaGadol is more minog than halacha. But let's just discuss a couple of things relating to Shabbos HaGadol. And then we'll break and I want to learn Haggadah, some inyanim of the Haggadah as well. Okay, first thing is, Mr. Plotnik, he actually asked me, why is the Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol? And the simple reason why it's called Shabbos HaGadol is because in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, it was on the 10th day of Chodesh Nisan when Hashem commanded us to take a seh and tie it to the Kare Hamita, to the legs of the bed, and inspect the animal for 4 days before we slaughter the seh as the Karban Pesach. And indeed, this is a halacha when in the Beis HaMikdash, when they offered the Tzmidim every single day, when they offered the Beis HaMikdash, the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar, and the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, the halacha is, that the animal has to be inspected, or at least be designated, 4 days in advance. Every single day they would bring in new animals in preparation of what's going to be 4 days from today. And that halacha only applies to the Tamidin, does not apply, and I don't believe it applies to any other karban, the Musafim, if I'm not mistaken, and any other karban. It only applies to the Tamidin. It's a very interesting idea that the Tamidin that we bring every single day of the year is directly related to the Karban Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, I might be making a mistake. There is no halacha that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, you were required to designate your Karban Pesach 4 days in advance. There's no halacha. This halacha that you have to designate the animal 4 days in advance was only true at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Just like in Yitzias Mitzrayim, the blood had to be applied to the mashkoif and the shtei mezuzos, there are many, many things that applied only, exclusively to the Karban Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and does not apply to a Karban Pesach that was offered in the time when Shabbos HaMikdash Hoya Kayam. The only thing that we have today that is a derivative of the 4 days of inspection is the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. And that's an amazing thing to think about, is that our own Karban Pesach, we don't have a requirement, and our own private Karbanos, there is no requirement, but the communal Tamidim, every single day throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, when it's offered, is all an extension of Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, and now that year, Shabbos HaGadol is not just 1 day a year. What happened on Shabbos HaGadol? Hashem told Klal Yisrael, it's the 10th day of Adar, I want you to take for yourself a sheep, and I want you, the 10th day of Nisan, I want you to take it, and I want you to tie it to your bed, to inspect it, to make sure that there is no blemish, and just hold it, and should be by your bed for 4 days. Why 4 days? I don't know. The number 4, obviously, is a very important number when it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, the 4 Kosos, the 4 Da'al Hashanis of Geula, the 4... What else? The Dalai Banim, the 4 questions. Okay, the number 4 goes on and on and on. The number 4, so there were 4 days in the preparation for Yitz. Now, that happened to be that particular year. Yud Nisan was Shabbos. And Chazal tell us the Seh was the Avodah Zarah of Egypt. Now, why was the Seh the Avodah Zarah of Egypt, by the way? It's a very interesting idea. Because in Egypt, why did they worship grain? Okay, Mayor, you mentioned that Avodah Zarah Digoin is a fish. Digoin relates to Dagon. Right, remember we spoke about that? What? It relates.
The fish god.
The fish. So how come there were people who worshiped the fish god and they didn't worship the Seth?
They were on the coast and they lived from fishing. That's what the Plishtim were. The Plishtim
may live from. Okay, but what about the grain? What about Dagon? Grain. Okay, Dagon is the fish god, but it also relates to the word grain. Let's forget about that. So the answer is because in Egypt, they did not worship grain, the earth, because that they believed was in their own hands.
Yeah.
All they had to do was irrigate the fields. There was an unlimited supply of water.
They worshiped the water.
And therefore, so what they worshiped, things that they recognized was not in their hand. Livestock is not something that's natural in Egypt. In Egypt, it's easy for there to be grain. Because in Egypt there's the Nile, and the Nile floods, so you irrigate the field and it grows, so you'll have grain. If you want grain, go out and get a job. There's plenty of jobs available for a person to succeed in producing grain. The Rav, the famine in Egypt, the time of Yosef, that was unusual. But generally, it's Biodeinu. If it's Biodeinu, there's no Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, if you study the ancient world, was always things that were not in your power. Things that were not under in your power, you had to come on to mazel. You had to come on to good luck, as they would call it. Then they had to sweat and worship the gods to make sure they had what they needed. There was no guarantee they would have meat in Egypt. Meat was scarce. Sheep were scarce. It was not a guarantee. Grain, that was easy. So grain they didn't worship. But the meat, the seh, was something that the Egyptians worshipped. That's one approach. There are many approaches as to why the Egyptians worshipped the seh. They worshipped it. Other time I told you, we learned from the Egyptology, is that what you say it's called?
Yes.
Egyptology was because Egypt, they were very much into the theme of Hakorah Satoif. And a sheep, from all the items they have, gives a human being the most benefit. It produces wool. And wool is a basic need of life, to shelter, to cover yourself, to cover your body, to provide warmth, to provide all different types. Wool was something which provides great benefit. And because this sheep produced wool out of Akaras HaToiv, they worshipped the sheep. Whatever the story is, the sheep was a creature that was worshipped. And now when the Egyptians saw that the Jews were taking sheep and tying it to their beds, and we're being told, and when they asked, what are you doing? They told them that in 4 days from now, we are going to slaughter your idol. We're going to slaughter your god. So what should have happened? There should have been a massacre. There should have been an uprising by the Egyptians, that these Jews are nuts. They're slaughtering our god. There should have been a massacre. And yet what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled within the minds of the Egyptians a fear, a pachad, a moira, not to dare touch the Jews. This was viewed as being a very, very great miracle. It's hard for us to appreciate the miracle because we don't live in the times and what the seh meant for the Ummah, for the Egyptians, and it's hard for us to appreciate the Mesiras Nefesh that the Jews did expressed by shechting the seh, and they survived. Nothing happened. It was a very, very great miracle, and the fact that it took place on the 10th day of Nisan, and it was also Shabbos, so that first year is called Shabbos HaGadol. It was a very great Shabbos. A Shabbos of very great miracles. Therefore, we every single year commemorate this Shabbos, the Shabbos before Pesach, with celebrating, at least giving special importance to Shabbos by calling it also Shabbos HaGadol. Now, what's the obvious question? But most of the time, Shabbos HaGadol is not the 10th day of the is not the 10th day of Nisan. Shabbos HaGadol this year is way before. What will be? I don't know what the date is, but it's not going to be the 10th day of Nisan.
No.
So if Chazal wanted to establish a festival, wanted to establish a reminder of the great miracle, to commemorate the miracle that happened on the 10th day of Nisan, so it should be on the calendar date. It should not be on the Shabbos that precedes the Shabbos that precedes Pesach. So what is the reason why we still connect it to Shabbos and not the calendar day? So there are probably 100 answers to this question, which I know almost none of, but let's just discuss some of the more popular ones. First one is there were other events that took place on the 10th day of Nisan which would conflict with the celebration. The most significant event was the crossing of the Yarden. When did Klal Yisrael enter into Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yoshua ben Nun? On the 10th day of Nisan. Now that's an amazing thing. Okay, coming into Eretz Yisrael is the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's to come and to enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's a significant event. And therefore, Yud Nisan, in it by itself, is a day of very great celebration for entering into Eretz Yisrael. Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. And we're also going to celebrate the 10th day of Nisan as a commemoration for the Mesiras Nefesh that we showed by taking possession of the Seh and tying it to the bed and telling the Egyptians that 4 days from now we're going to slaughter your God. It would be a conflict. Each one of these things is so significant, it would not be proper to merge them, to synthesize them into one single day. And therefore, Chazal said, let's leave the 10th day of Nisan as a day to commemorate our entry into Eretz Yisrael, and we'll have to give the day, the commemoration of the miracle of the selection of the Seh, for another time. And being that in that particular year it came out on the 10th day of Nisan fell out on Shabbos, so Shabbos before Pesach will be a commemoration of the miracle, and the 10th of Nisan will be a commemoration for our entry into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so, and even though there are times when they do coincide, they're rare, so be it. So if they coincide, they coincide. But the Chazal, by design, did not want it to be on the 10th day. They wanted it to be on a special day in order not to conflict with the entry into Eretz Yisrael. That's one approach. Another approach is the 10th day of Nisan is not a happy day. What happened on the 10th day of Nisan? Miriam died. Miriam died on the 10th day of Nisan. So it's a bittersweet day. Chazal did not want to commemorate the miracle on this day because that would downgrade the simcha of the miracle. So Shabbos, even if Yud Nisan falls out on Shabbos, we do not mourn on Shabbos. So Shabbos before Pesach is a safe day to commemorate the miracle. You understand? There were three major figures who took us out of Egypt. Who are they? Moshe, Aaron, and don't forget Miriam. Miriam is an equal to Moshe and Aaron in Yitzias Mitzrayim. They're a trial. They all go together. Moshe's yahrzeit is Zayin Adar, and Zayin Adar in Shulchan Aruch says you're obligated to fast. Misa, we don't do it for whatever reason. And Rosh Chodesh Av is the yahrzeit of Aaron, and that's why even though on Rosh Chodesh you're not allowed to fast, it's one of the two exceptions. You're allowed to fast on Aleph, on Rosh Chodesh Av. A Chassan is allowed to fast on Chodesh Shabbat because it's really a day of Tzoyim. It's really a fast day because it's the Petirah of Aaron HaKoyin. Yud Nisan is the Petirah of the third partner who took us out of Mitzrayim, Miriam. And It's a Yom Tzoyim. It's a day of fasting. It's we don't fast, but it's a significant day of pain, and therefore it would not be appropriate to establish Yud Nisan as a commemoration for a miracle. So we have no choice but to find a solution. And being that in the year when it happened, it took place on Shabbos, so we push it back. We push it back to Shabbos. Just as an aside, it's very interesting is that just like we find that Hu Asher Dibra Hashem Bikroivai Ekodesh, that through Misa Sadikim, unfortunately the way of the world is that everything in life is bittersweet. There's always joy, but the joy unfortunately is always offset by pain. That's the way the world is until the coming of Mashiach. There's no such thing as pure joy. Oz Yimole Schoik Pinu. The seven called Simcha and the seven called Tzchoik. What's the difference between Tzchoik and Simcha? Tzchoik is pure, unadulterated joy. Simcha is joy, but there's also, it's not possessive of the moment. There is also pain lurking in the background. Tzchoik does not tolerate any sadness. It's possessive. If there is Tzchoik, it means get out of my way. Get out of my way, I dominate, I control the territory, there is no sadness. Simcha is joy, there's incredible joy. But simcha allows itself to be shared with other emotions. A human being is very complex. A human being has enough room in his mind at the same time to have joy and to have pain. Some explain that's why a person cries when he's in a state of extreme joy. Because every time a person reaches extreme joy, it triggers pain. We don't realize how complex the human mind is, and tears really only come from pain. There's no such thing as a tear coming from joy. Why then are there tears of our joy? Because when you reach a very high degree of simcha in the mind, it associates emotion, and emotion is just one big gray area emotion. And once you come to a high state of emotion, the mind does not know how to differentiate between emotion of joy, emotion of pain. Pain triggers tears. When a person enters that matzav, tears can flow. That's a questionable idea of Shimon Schwab. And Shimon Schwab claims this to be true, and that's why he says that. We say in the pasuk, "Mocha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kol Panim," and the Chazal Darshan, "Afilu Dima Shel Simcha." That when Mashiach comes, Hashem will remove tears, even tears of joy, because every tear of joy really is a subconscious tear of pain. But in any event, when what happened on the first day of Nisan? The first day of Nisan was the Chanukas Ha Mishkan. And what was that accompanied by? A terrible tragedy. The Petira of Nadav Vahaviu. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Hu Asher Diber Hashem Bikroivai Ekodesh. Yud Nisan, now it didn't happen at the same time. Miriam died much before. But Yud Nisan was the day when Klal Yisrael, well, did she? When did Miriam die?
You said she died near Nisan, you just said.
I know, but when? Did she die before?
A few months before Aaron.
She did. That's what it says. Yeah, because when she died, that's when the chus of Moshe Rabbeinu married. So she died in the Midbar. So even though when she died, it was not the time when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't the same year, but in time there is a mazel of time. There is a cycle of time. It's not a coincidence that the Petira of Miriam happened on the same day as our entry into Eretz Yisrael. Entering into Eretz Yisrael was almost equivalent to the building of the Mishkan. And just like the building of the Mishkan, it says in the pasuk, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Bikroivai Ekodesh. So to coming into Eretz Yisrael was also sacred, was also sanctified, unfortunately, through the Petira of a Tzadekes. It didn't happen the same year, but on that day, when they were coming into Eretz Yisrael, they were reflecting, what is today? Rav Meir, he got up in the shir before they went into Eretz Yisrael, and said, you know, we have a big yard site today. Who's the yard site? Miriam. And 5 minutes later, they're calling, get on the bus, we're going into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to the Yarden, to cross the Yarden. The day that Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden, as they were crossing the Yarden, they were being misabel, they were fasting, over, they were reminded, today is the Yahrzeit of Miriam. Miriam was one of the three people who was responsible for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why should there be pain on this wonderful day, the greatest day of Klal Yisrael, of coming into Eretz Yisrael? Unfortunately, that's the way Hashem made the world. Hu asher diber Hashem bikroivai ekodesh. V'nigdashti through my honored ones I will be sanctified. So there's something very significant about the Petira of Miriam coinciding B'davku the day when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Chazal, by design, did not want the miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the miracle of the taking of the Korban Pesach, which represented the Mesiras Nefesh, the Emunah, that a Klal Yisrael had in Hashem to bring the Korban Pesach, Mishchu Kuchulachem Pesach, Mishchu Yideichem Minu Avodah Zarah, remove yourself from Avodah Zarah and come close to Hashem. They did not want to dilute this incredible simcha, a miracle of Korban Pesach, with Yud Nisan, because of the pain of the Petira of Miriam, had the tzadekes, and therefore Chazal needed a solution. And being that in the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yud Nisan took place on Shabbos, Mela, so we adopted Shabbos as a day to commemorate the miracle. Okay, so these are two explanations why we don't do it on the day itself. Now there are other reasons. Now those are more pshat. Those explanations give more of a pshat flavor. Then there are the more of the homiletic approaches, and that is, you have to appreciate that Shabbos Everything really comes back to Shabbos. Shabbos is the first moed. Shabbos, Hashem, Shavas, Vayinofash, the Yitzias Mitzrayim is a dogma, is a ma'isav, a similar bottom from the ultimate Geula, the Geula of L'Asulavoy, which is Shabbos. The Sheishes Yamin, the 6 days, every day by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years, and in the years, and after 6,000 years is going to be the ultimate we will be living through. Mashiach will come before that. But that will be the year, the time of living in the ultimate geula. Yitzias Mitzrayim represents that concept. Therefore, before we go into Pesach, we have to reflect upon the kedusha of Shabbos. Everything that happens in the week, in the following week, Chazal say, is rooted in the kedusha of Shabbos. And therefore, since in the coming week will be Pesach, the Shabbos before, we give it extra special significance in starting the celebration of Pesach on the Shabbos before, and we call it Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, that's another very popular approach. Now let's go to some more drushim. It's another very nice drush is, we learned this in the Chayei Adam. The Chayei Adam, this is really our drush. Chayei Adam teaches us that on Pesach, it's only in another Nakuda to explain this point, and that Shabbos, that on Pesach there is a mitzvah of Tashbisu. Tashbisu Seor Mi Boteichem. There is the removing of chametz and tashbisu. What is tashbisu? It shall cease to exist. Chazal identifies Seor as a marshal for the Yetzahara. That the Yetzahara is the Seor Shebeisa, the gaiva which causes the dough to swell, to expand. It represents everything evil in this world, and 7 days a year we are obligated to remove, to obliterate this Yetzirah. And when the term the Torah uses for the mitzvah is Tashbisu Seor Mi Boteichem. Now that's negative. Is that not so? That's a very negative thing. Jews, unfortunately, have been criticized that we're too negative. Okay, in the Torah there are 300. There are Taryag mitzvahs, and there are 600. And there are 365 negative mitzvahs, whereas there are only 248 positive mitzvahs. There are more negatives in the Torah than there are positives. And sometimes we have a tendency to always look for chesroinos. The Torah, more or less, super magnifies very, very minor imperfections.
Sur meira,
what comes first? Excellent. Sur meira va'asei tov. So the whole yontif of Pesach, in essence, is sur meira. What does it mean, mishchu? What is the Karban Pesach all about? The Karban Pesach is all about withdraw from Avodah Zarah. Mishchu, the term the Torah used to bring Karban Pesach, mishchu yideichem min Avodah Zarah, withdraw from idols, and bring the Karban Pesach. It's a rejection. The Pesach was the Seh, was the idol of Egypt. It's a rejection of idolatry. Another negative element. There's another Shabbos, and that's called Shabbos Kodesh. Vayoyim hashvi shavas vayinofash. Shabbos is a day of positivity. It's a day of to be positive. The kedusha of Shabbos, the koroso l'Shabbos oineg. The whole essence of Shabbos is to focus on the positive, to enjoy yourself. Don't work, not because work is evil, there's nothing wrong with work, but Shabbos, we want you to be free in order to connect yourself to Hashem, to enjoy. The koroso l'Shabbos oineg. Therefore, before we come to Pesach, which in essence is a negative holiday, that's what it really is. Pesach really can, it's a very dangerous holiday. Pesach sends the wrong message to Klal Yisrael. Negativity. Destroy idols. Destroy the Yetzirah. Tashbisu. Obliterate every item of chametz you have in your house. Right? It's a negative holiday, Pesach. Destroy the Egyptians.
It's Geula, I understand. It's Geula.
But there is the emphasis is not the Geula. The emphasis is the obliteration of the Egyptians. That 10 Makos. Hashem destroyed the Egyptians. Kriyas Yamsuf, the Egyptians drowned. We say, Shefoicha Moschel Agoy Masher Lo Yidu Ucha. there's an enormous amount of negativity in Pesach. You can't deny. The Torah's term is Tashbisu Sor Mibotechem. That says it all. The sor is the shorish of chametz. You don't have chametz, you have sor. You need the yeast in order to cause the chametz to, I mean, it goes hand in hand. But we call the Yetzer Hara the sor shavisa, and Pesach is all about tashvisu, negativity. Destroy the Egyptians, destroy the Zara, destroy everything bare that there is in this world, shefei chamoschan, bring the geula. It's dangerous. That's a very, very dangerous concept. In order to prepare ourselves for the sur meirah, you have to start off with being positive. And therefore, before you come into Pesach, you have to have a super duper deluxe Shabbos. Not your regular Shabbos. The Shabbos before Pesach, before you come to the Tashbisu, which is the word of the Shorish of Tashbisu, Shabbos, there's a Shabbos HaGadol. What is Shabbos? V'karasa l'Shabbos Oineg. Be positive. Focus on the positive. Don't take the wrong message from Pesach. The Iker is be positive. There has to be Tashbisu Sar. That's the way the world is. But we begin the celebration of the festival with Shabbos HaGadol, a day to take delight. Many people, they go away for Shabbos HaGadol. Their house is clean. They have a catered meal. It's a real oinig to get out of the house and enjoy yourself. Okay, so this is a message.
Go to somebody else's house.
Make his house dirty. Yeah. Or you go to the shul and make the shul dirty, as long as you don't make your house dirty. The Karasa L'Shabbos Oineg, the Shabbos HaGadol, what is greater than Pesach, than Tashbisu? What Shabbos Kodesh is, positivity. This is the proper thing to put in your mind before you come to Pesach. Okay, now I'll tell you another idea. Okay, this also is an original. You heard it here first, Rabbi. So you may not like this, but in Parshas Bo, at the end of Parshas Bo, we learn Paro says to Moshe, "Moshe, what is this I hear you doing? You're telling the people, you're gathering them together, and you're telling them divrei sheker." Okay, v'al yishu b'divrei sheker. Now let's give some background. The Jews worked 7 days a week. Okay, everybody side.
Everybody side,
please, it's disturbing. The Jews worked 7 days a week. Okay, 7 days a week was the Shibud. Moshe told Paro, I guarantee you it's to the advantage of the Jews. Okay, it's to the advantage of the Jews that they should have 1 day off. If you'll give them 1 day off, it will free their minds, it will free their souls, they will be refreshed, and they will work much harder the other 6 days. Paro was a psychologist, obviously had a PhD in psychology, and he said, Moshe, you're right, and I hereby give the Jews off 1 day. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who invented Shabbos. Now, Shabbos was Maaseh Bereishis, we all know that, but it was not practiced. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as on a practical level, he lobbied Paro that there should be a day of rest. Moshe picked, and indeed, Paro says, you're right, I give them a day off. So what were the Jews doing on Shabbos? They were milling about. They were schmoozing. They went online. They were all playing with their smartphones on Shabbos. They had nothing to do, no work. They were off. So Moshe said, Rabbeisai, come with me. Let me go and teach you. Let's learn some Torah. Moshe gathered them, he gathered them together, and he was mechazek them, and he taught them Torah, mitzvahs, and told them, pokoid pokadati. He told them that was the whole essence of Shabbos. The whole essence of Shabbos was Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the simon that is going to be a geula? The person that will say the words, pokoid pokadati. So what do we think was magic? Moshe Rabbeinu, he arrives on the scene, and he says, pokoid pokadati. And all of a sudden they come, they bow down, oh, you're our Redeemer. It was that easy? It was really that easy? Someone could just say those two words and that was it, Zehu? Anyone can come along, any faker can come along, go online, they see it says the password is Pekoy Pekadati. There are a lot of hackers out there.
No?
There were hackers all over the place. They all knew the pad. There were a lot of hackers in the Goethe Shevelt.
No.
No?
It was a protected password.
Okay, maybe. I'm not arguing, maybe. But L'Choira, I'm trying to suggest, it can't be that easy. It can't just stand be the one that says the two magic words, Pekoyt Pekadati, he all of a sudden, he wins. And all of a sudden, the Jews, they change their tune. Pekoyt Pekadati was a process which involved a lot of hard work. And Pekoyt Pekadati, when was Pekoyt Pekadati done? It was done through Shabbos. The whole essence of Pekoyt Pekadati took place on Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu saw what was going on. The Jews didn't want to look at him. We don't have time to talk to you with slaves. Every word that we spend, every moment we spend talking to you, we pay by being whipped. The taskmasters will whip us for every second that we spend. So it's not kedai to look at you, Moshe. So Moshe went to Paro and says, you know, you got to give them a day off because they're gonna die. Paro said, you're right. I'm a psychologist, and you're right. They tackle need a day off, and that will refresh them. I'll have a lot more to gain from them by being off on Shabbos. Okay, there. Now Moshe, guess what? I got you a day off from work, and therefore you owe me one. I want to talk to you. I want you to come to my shir. They come to Moshe's shir, and what did Moshe say to them? Pekoyt Pekadati. He didn't just say the words Pekoyt Pekadati. He explained to them what Pekoyt Pekadati is. And he persuaded them, and he was mechazek them, and he told them that I am a representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he is Pekoyt Pekadati Eis she'asacha b'Mitzrayim, and he's going to redeem you. Hang in there. Just hang in there a little bit longer. And the Jews slowly opened up their eyes to believe Moshe Rabbeinu. Paro, this is a midrash I'm telling you now, Paro had spies, they were eavesdropping, he had the most advanced NSA, FBI, CIA, you name it, every one of these spies, the MI6, they were all in cahoots, working together to listen to every little thing that was going on, and he heard what Moshe was telling them. He calls in Moshe, Moshe, you know, I gave the Jews a day off, and I hear you giving shiurim to Mechazek, and you're telling them Torah mitzvahs, and you're telling them Pekoyt Pekadati, and that includes you're telling them there's going to be a geula. There's going to be a geula. You know what? No more. I cut this out. You know what? I'm going to intensify the labor in the labor to show the people that you're wrong. I'm giving them a day off Shabbos. That's going to remain. But when they go to work, they're going to work so much harder. They're going to think about what you told them on Shabbos, and they're going to say that this guy Moshe, he's a fanatic. He's a liar. He's not the real deal. He's not the Pekoyt Pekadati. It cannot be that now the task has gotten that much harder. Moshe, the Al Yishu, the Pasuk says the very end of Parashas Bo, the Al Yishu, they should not turn. What does it say by Kain? It says, Vel Minchosoy Loy Shoa. Hashem did not turn. So Paro said to Moshe, the Al Yishu, he said to his people, the Al Yishu El Divrei Shoker. The Al Yishu Bidivrei Shoker. They should not turn to the words of falsehood. What are the words of falsehood? Pekoyt Pekadati. That Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them on Shabbos Kodesh. So now we have to appreciate why we celebrate the Shabbos before Pesach. It becomes clear as day. The Shabbos before Pesach, we give tribute because it was on Shabbos. It was on Shabbos that Moshe Rabbeinu revealed to them Pekoyt Pekadati. Paro told out, that's Kosher Shabbos. Why Gadol? Here's the catch, the clinch. Why Gadol? Paro described in his words this message of Moshe Rabbeinu, which I'm saying is sandwiched in the words, because you don't need to become what I'm saying, no, it's not necessary, but which is sandwiched, Pekoyt Pekadati, is Sheker. Al Yishu Bidivrei Sheker. What is MS? MS in the Torah is called Gadol. How do you know that? Okay, I don't have an explicit rabbi, I think a very good drush to prove you that I'm right, that MS is called Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisro. Okay, when Yisro was criticized Moshe, what does he say to Moshe? He says, you can't do this alone. Novel Tibo. You have to find for yourself people, Chachamim, Nevoinim, I have to find for you the exact pasuk. The story I'm trying to say, I have two rayas to this. Parashas Kisisa, no, too far. Shuma, Tetzave, too far. Where am I going? Yisro, here we go. Kei Vayichad Yisro, further. Vayim Mocharas, Vayar Chesin Moshe. Okay, here we go. Vayar Bechesin Moshe Elav, Loi Toiv Hadavar. Ata Shma Bekoili. The Ata, you, Sechazem Mikol Om, Anshe Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes. Sonei Votza, Vesamta Alehem, Sorei Alefim, Sorei Miyos, Sorei Chavish, then it goes further. Moshe listened. Vayivchar Moshe Anshe Chayil. Now, he told him, I want you to get Anshe Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes. Okay, those two go to Yiri Elokim Anshe Emes, Sonei Votza. Moshe did not, it doesn't say that Moshe found Anshe Yiri Elokim and Anshe Emes. All it says is Vayivchar Moshe Anshe Chayil Mikol Yisrael. It's all he found from all the conditions that was demanded of him. Anshe Chayil Yiri Elokim, Anshe Emes, Sonei Votza. He only was able to find Anshe Chayil. Vayitein Oysam Roshim Alei Alom. Sorei Alefim, Sorei Meos, Sorei Chamish, Sorei Nasros. V'shav Tu Esam Cholais. Es HaDovar HaKosheh. What's the key? Everyone, this is the famous thing. Kosheh Yivyun El Moshe. The goal was, they'll bring Dover HaKosheh El Moshe. V'chol HaDovar HaKoton Yishputu Heim. What happened? It says here, let's go back. I apologize. I'm getting a little confused. Let's go back. That's what happened. What did Yisro say?
Yisro said, "Gadol."
V'shavtu esam b'choleis v'haya kol hadavar hagadol yaviu elecha kol hadavar hagadol yishpitu heim. And Moshe, who came to Moshe? They came to Moshe. V'shavt b'chol asdav b'chol as a davar hakosheh. Right, hadavar hagadol. That's the word. I'm going to mix up now. V'shavt v'asam b'choleis v'choyo kol hadavar hagadol yaviu elecha. Why did he say yisro davar hagadol? So it's not an exact raya, but being that the demand was, you shall select people who are Anshe Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes, Sonei Votza. All of these qualities, Moshe Rabbeinu would be the leader in these qualities. Everyone else would be a subordinate to Moshe Rabbeinu in these qualities. So since Yisro said that they will bring to you the Dover HaGodol, it's not exactly right. My raya is not too great. It's not too great. I thought I had a better raya, but there's a slight equivalence of the Anshe Chayil Yirei Elokim Anshe Emes, Sonei Votza, and then you will be the chief among the people who has these qualities, and which includes Emes, and all the other things as well. Anshe Chayil Yirei Elokim Anshe Emes, Sonei Votza. That's called Dover HaGodol. That is a combination of these four qualities. Therefore, Shabbos HaGadol is called Gadol because it's a response to Paro. Paro said that on Shabbos, don't believe Al Yishu B'Divrei Shoker. Don't listen to these words of Shoker. We are showing Paro, you were dead wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to us Divrei Emes. Therefore, Shabbos, what are you going to call Shabbos? You're going to call Shabbos the Shabbos, and what is Gadol? Gadol was the combination of all four together. Anshe Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes, Sonei Botza. You can't call Shabbos, it's all totally Zebized. The truth is, it has all these qualities. I don't take it back, it has all these qualities. Klal Yisrael, what does it mean to be Chayil? It means to be strong. What did the Egyptians want to do to Klal Yisrael? What did they want to do to the Jews when they saw they took their Avodah Zarah and was about to slaughter it? To kill the Jews. It took enormous courage to stand up against the Egyptians, Mesiras Nefesh. The Jews expressed that they were Anshe Chayil. We are not afraid of you. We're going to take your... They were Yirei Elokim. Hashem told them do, they did it. Anshe Emes. They believed that what Moshe said, Pokoit Pokaditi, is the real deal. We're getting out of Egypt. Sonei Vatsa. They hated wrongdoing, but the ultimate Batsa, corruption, is Avodah Zarah. To attribute the world and success to an idol, there's no greater betza, no greater corruption, no greater payment of bribery. What is bribery? You pay money to someone who does not deserve the money. Giving a sacrifice, an animal, which cost a lot of money, to an idol. Giving an animal, an offering, a sacrifice to an idol is no greater betzach than that. All of the qualities that Klal Yisrael expressed on Shabbos Hagadol are captured in the pasuk here. Anshe Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes. They believe that what Moshe told them these years on Shabbos was Emes. Sonei Vatsa, Mishchu Yideicha Min Ho'avoy Dezara. And sacrifice the Pesach l'shem Hashem. Don't offer your property, your money, your children, and all of your assets to idols. Well, that's betza. When you pay a person a bribe for something that is false, I give a judge money in order that he should decide in my favor. That's betza. Giving an idol a sacrifice so that the idol should do for you something, that's the ultimate betza. You're wasting your money on Sheker. That's the ultimate betza. The instruction was to slaughter the Avodah Zarah. This is a rejection of betza. So everything that it says here in the pasuk here, Anshe Chayil Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes Soni Batsa, these are the qualities that we need. They're just like you, and Moshe, you are the leader, and Moshe is called V'hoya Hadavar HaGodol, because you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you excel in these four midos. The other people who you're going to try to get, they're not going to be as great as you, they're going to be less than you. So to them, they'll be called katan relative to you. And indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu could not even find the only people that he found. Therefore, you see the word gadol in the eyes of Yisro encompasses these four. And that's exactly what's happening on Shabbos HaGadol, where we express what has happened. And it being that it took place to Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu did tell them, convince them on Shabbos, on their day off, that there's going to be a geula. That's why we combine these two together and we call it Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, that's another idea. Before we wind down, there's another very, everyone, I have to talk, because everyone quotes this idea, but it was a little bit halacha. And then we'll take a little break and then we'll do something else. Everyone mentions this idea, is that why Dafka Shabbos? So the Goyim, they were spying on the Jews, and they listened to the Shiurim of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu taught them about Shabbos. That was, they had a day off from work, and he taught them Shabbos. One of the laws of Shabbos is you're not allowed to make a knot. You're not allowed to tie a kesher shel kayama. It's a very popular what I'm telling you now. It's this Vart. Everyone quotes this Vart. You're not allowed to tie a kesher shel kayama. When the Egyptians saw that the Jews were being mechalel Shabbos, they said, what are you doing? It's Shabbos. How could it be that you're taking an animal and you're making a kesher shel kayama on Shabbos to tie the animal to the legs of the bed? So the Jews responded, there were two different versions. Either, no, look carefully, we're only talking a kesher she'ena shel kayama, or indeed we're talking a kesher shel kayama, it's hayrasha. Hashem told us that this is the mitzvah hayoyim, and tying a kesher shel kayama overrides Shabbos. Being that the curiosity was aroused by the Egyptians as to what is going on when they witness tying taking place, and tying is something which only is active, only is an issue on Shabbos Kodesh, the Dafka, we commemorate the miracle on Shabbos and not on the 10th day of Nisan. If this event would have taken place, Hashem would have told Klai, shall take the sheep and tie the sheep to the legs of your bed. And it would not have been Shabbos, time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It could very well be, according to the Mefarshim, that the Egyptians would not have known, picked up what was going on. They would have saw, they're just taking sheep, they're tying it to their beds. It's our, maybe Adarabba, they're worshipping our God. They've come around to realize that the Ses is the God of the Egyptians, and just like we worship this, so they also want a teddy bear. They also want to go take the sheep and put it near their bed so they can worship it the first thing in the morning and the first thing and right before they go to sleep. The Egyptians would not have been aroused to question what is going on here had this command taken place during the week, because they're tying a sheep to their bed, the Kari Hamita. Maybe the Egyptians also tied their sheep to the Kari Hamita because they worship the sheep daily. Modani was said to the Sheh. Hamapil was said to the was said. They said Kriyashma to the Sheh. So you have to go. V'shach b'cha uv'kumecha. When you lie down, when you wake up. So you take the Sheh and you put the Sheh by your bed to worship the Sheh. Big deal. The Jews finally are coming around to realize who's the boss here. So why did it arouse their curiosity? Why did it ask them to question what is going on? It's because it was Shabbos. And a Jew would never make a kesher shel kayoma be mechalel Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu every Shabbos taught them the lamed tes melachos, and the goyim knew the lamed tes melachos because they were very curious. What are they doing on Shabbos? What is going on? They were curious and they were listening. They knew the laws. What are you doing? It's Shabbos. You're not allowed to tie a kesher shel kayama. We're the Shabbos goy here. We're the ones who do the tying for you. Why are you doing it yourself? So the Jews said, you're right. First, either, if you look carefully, it's not a kesher shel kayama, which is very shver because this is a 4 days. You're not going to tie your shoelaces, even a single knot is going to be for 4 days. So l'choyer for 4 days is more than 24 hours. It is automatically called a kesher, which is also. And the answer basically was, you're right. Hoyroasha. Hashem gave us instructions that this is, it's a full matan Torah. So the rules are more relaxed. And we were instructed to do this act on Shabbos, even though it's Shabbos. So this unusual event aroused the curiosity of the Egyptians to ask what's going on. And the response was, guess what? In 4 days from now, we're going to take your idol and we're going to slaughter it. And we're going to eat it as a celebration for the Exodus. They went berserk. There should have been an uprising to wipe out the Jews. And what happened? Nothing. So the whole miracle came about only because it was Shabbos. So that's why it's critical that we commemorate this on the Shabbos before Pesach, not on Shabbos itself. Okay, now here's a very interesting halachic issue. Halachic issue to wind down, the Haftorah. This week there's a special Haftorah for Arva Lashem, Min Chasidov Yushalayim. There's a special Haftorah. Hine Nechi Shlechem Eisi Liyo Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGodol VeHanayra. Another reason why it's called Shabbos HaGodol, because of the half, nothing more than the Shabbat, the Haftorah. In the Haftorah, we read the Pasuk, I'm going to send you Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGodol VeHanayra. Now, by the way, this is not one of the Dalet Parashiyos. Don't get confused. The Shabbos HaGodol is not one of the Dalet Parashiyos. It's only Shkolim, Zohar, Parah, and Achodesh. There's a special Haftorah. And you're supposed to give the Haftorah to the Rav. The Rav gets the Haftorah. So it says Shulchan Aruch. The Rav is supposed to get the Haftorah and Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shuv and Shabbos HaGadol. The question is, what Haftorah do you learn? Do you learn, this week is Parsha Saf, do you learn the Haftorah of Parsha Saf, or do you learn the Haftorah of Shabbos, the special Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol? So truth be told, there is a big machlokes as when you are supposed to learn Shabbos, the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol. There are two major themes in the Haftorah. One theme is Hine Anochi Shalech Lachem Eis Eliyahu Hanavi. It's not Eliyahu, it's Eliyahu, right? Eliyahu, unusual spelling, Eliyahu Hanavi. Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem Geula. That's one theme. But there's another theme which appears at the beginning of the Haftorah, and that is Meiser. You shall remove from your home Meiser. The truth is, all of the Haftorahs, well, that's not all, most of them, the mention of the theme is the beginning of the Haftorah. Eliyahu HaNavi is at the end. In the beginning of the Haftorah, there's a discussion of Meiser. What is Meiser? Biur Meisers. There's an obligation at the end of the third year, before Pesach, to make sure you've given your maestros, maestro rishon, maestro sheni, maestro ani, truma, you must get rid of it. You must distribute it. It's called the shas, zman, biur. Biur maestros. I believe it's the very end of Masechta Bikurim. Mm-hmm. End of Masechta Bikurim. You have to give your maestros a mitzvah deraisa to make sure you remove the maestros by the end of the third year before the fourth year begins, if I'm not mistaken. Therefore, when is the cutoff of Zman? Erev Pesach is the last time you can give the maestros. Erev Pesach. So many of the Achrayim say the reason why you're learning the Haftarah of the Arvar L'Hashem Minchas, this Haftarah Shabbat, has nothing to do with Eliyahu HaNavi. It's good luck. It's just a good mazel. Eliyahu HaNavi happens to appear in this Haftarah. Hinei Anochi. The primary reason is a wake-up call to people. Make sure you give maestros. Now, even though the main time you give the maestros, the main zman to give the maestros is the fourth year, we laid it every single year because eventually you'll get to the fourth year when you have to give the maestros. So some are of the opinion, the only time you lane this haftarah of the Arva LaHashem Minchas Yudah Rishayim is only when Shabbos HaGadol is not Erev Pesach. Because then you still have time, like this week, this year, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, to give the Maaser before Pesach begins. But in the rare event that Erev Pesach Shechal Lihiyos B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to give Maaser on Shabbos. So it's too late. If it's already Erev Pesach Shechal Lihiyos B'Shabbos, it's too little, too late. You cannot give, it's too late. So therefore, in that year, when Erev Pesach Shechal Lihiyos B'Shabbos, you do not lain the Haftarah of Shabbos HaGadol, you lain the Haftarah of the Parashas HaShavua. Because the primary reason is not Hinei Anochi, it's for Maestros. You have to still have an opportunity for the remaining couple of days to bring Maaser. If you don't have that opportunity because it's already Shabbos, and Shabbos is Erev Pesach, it's too late. You can't give Maaser on Shabbos. So then in that year, you're not going to recite the Haftarah. Some say just the opposite. Yes. Right. Just the opposite. The time is, the reason why is because, bedavka, because of Hinei Anochi Shlach Eis, Lifnei Yoim, Boy Hashem. Being that it says Lifnei, bedavka, in a year, when it's Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos, that's the only time you say the HaShabbos, the Haftarah, because the Iker Pasik is Hinei Anochi Eliyo, and what does it say? Before the day. Hinei Anochi Shlach Lechem Eis Eliyo Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Yoim Hashem, before the day. So when it's Erev Pesach Shechal Lihiyos B'Shabbos, then you lane this Haftarah. What? I don't know. It could be. I don't know.
What do they do
with
the Pasuk about Maaser?
That's not the Iker. That was never meant to be something which was Halacha L'Maaser, the Minhag Yisrael list later no matter what. But that's a new thing. It's a new thing. It used to be one or the other. You only lane it bedavka when it's not Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, or you bedavka only lane it when it's bedavka Erev Pesach Shechal Kotze La Kotze, because you have to ask the question: what is the Iker? Is the Iker the Maaser, or is the Iker Eliyahu? L'chora, the Maaser is the Iker because that's what appears in the beginning. Generally, the theme of the Haftarah is the beginning, not the end. The end is an exception. Eliyahu appears at the end of the Haftarah, which appears to be just an afterthought. It's not the Iker part of the Haftarah. If that was the Iker part of the Haftarah, we would start with that pasuk. If the main part of the Haftarah was Eliyahu HaNavi, you would start with that pasuk and go weiter, keep on going into the next pair. You would not end with it. So that's the dilemma. What is the Iker? What is the Tafel? If the Iker is Maaser, it makes sense. You only do it when it's not Shabbos. If the Iker is Eliyahu, you only do it when it is Erev Shabbos, Chalitz B'Shabbos. The Minhag Yisrael is to do what? Is to learn no matter what. We focus on two major themes of the Haftarah of Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, and the Rav is supposed to darshan on Shabbos HaGadol Halacha, because the Haggadah is the homiletic, we discussed it yesterday. And the Minhag Yisrael though is that the Rav generally darshan on homiletics, because Halacha today is readily available in many books. just go online or buy a sefer. The halachas are readily available to the people today for people that say they need chizuk. So the minhag Yisrael is that the Rav should give chizuk. The Rav gives drashas in Europe. The Rav only spoke twice a year. He only spoke on Shabbos Shuvah and Shabbos HaGadol. Some Rabbis only had two drashas. A drasha for Shabbos Shuvah and a drasha for Shabbos HaGadol. Sometimes they mix them up. They mix up the Shabbos, the drashas, and so some Rabbis, they said the same drasha every year. They said, because people don't remember from year to year. They don't remember. They said the same drasha every year. Twice a year, they had very long drasha. They would speak for hours. 2 hours. 45 minutes was easy. Today, we have a different world. Obviously, many Rabbanim today, they do both. They'll speak a little halacha, some unique halachas relevant related to that year, and then they'll speak a little agada. Okay, that is the other union of halacha that is Shabbos agada. So tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, okay, other quick thing on the halacha is saying to say the Haggadah. There's a minute to recite the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadol and Mincha. Why? What's the reason? You should be fluent. You should be fluent. It's a hachana for the Seder. Others say, Pumfake, you shouldn't dare recite the Haggadah. It's like eating matzah Erev Pesach. You're not allowed to eat matzah Erev Pesach so that the flavor, the matzah, should be hafteovoin. There should be, you should relish it. It should be delicious. If you go through the Haggadah Erev Pesach, so I know this already. When it comes to the Seder, you're just going to repeat the words by rote. You should take a break from the Haggadah. You learn Haggadah and Erev Pesach, don't learn Haggadah. Don't learn Haggadah, so that when it comes the night time, you should have a te'avoin. So there are different minhage Yisrael. Should you be dafka, read the Haggadah Erev Pesach to be fluent and to be making your mind for the Seder, or you should be dafka, not read the Haggadah, so you should have a te'avoin when you come to the Leil Seder. Many Gedolei Yisrael, different minhagim in regard to that. There's also a very famous piyut, and there's a piyut that some say Erev Pesach Shchal and Erev Pesach on Shabbos HaGadol, which the mile of the piyut has all the halachas. It's a very unique piyut, can't go through now, but in this piyut, it doesn't just talk about Pesach, it mamish lays out all of the halachas of the Seder. The only problem is, many of those halachas we don't follow today. those are minhagim and halachas which today are viewed as minority opinions. A minority opinion, so we don't do it. But it's a beautiful piyut, which is a very popular piyut, and many born being a riot. What is the halacha from that particular piyut? Okay, we'll take a very short break, and then we'll do a little drush for 10-15 minutes on the Haggadah. Okay, 1 minute break.
So they're almost up. They were able to be Masuda because it's almost up to them. If there would have been one more, they would have
fallen asleep.
I think they stopped work.
They'll have 130 something.
Iceland is the same country. I mean, it's not like going to what? Went to Russia.
They got mail there.
The ones went to Russia.
They also did
it.
I do on occasion.
Because I have to go. I need a place where to go for. I have 28 years.
You go for 28? Oh boy.
I work it, and then it's
really something for you.
I have to be so old, and I have to
see,
work.
It's beautiful.
I have to go, but I want to go with somebody. Who do you go with? Your wife? The no children there, or?
I have a son there with 12 children.
Oh, shit. But I need to get a place, because some guy told me he had a place, and then, but he's far out. He bought a new co-op in,
Okay, let's continue. Just a few minutes, let's discuss some Haggadah. Everyone left already? All right, I wrote down some ideas. What did I write down? Okay, I have Haggadah here. Okay, let's discuss some ideas. Let's see what we got here. Okay, let's start with a very short